Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Cities: The First 6,000 Years by Monica L. Smith is a broad, accessible work of archaeological and historical nonfiction about the rise and persistence of urban life. Smith, an archaeologist and anthropologist, examines how cities emerged roughly 6 millennia ago and why they became such a durable form of human settlement. Rather than presenting a simple chronological catalog of famous cities, the book asks what makes a city different from a large village, why people accept the crowding and inconvenience of urban living, and how ancient urban practices still shape modern experience. Its scope ranges from early Mesopotamian urbanism to places such as Teotihuacan, Pompeii, Rome, Athens, and contemporary metropolitan life. The book combines archaeological evidence, material culture, infrastructure, social organization, consumption, and waste to show cities as engines of communication, exchange, creativity, and inequality. Its purpose is to make the deep history of cities visible to readers who often treat urban life as a modern inevitability. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, cities as a recent but transformative human invention. The central theme of the book is that cities are not an ancient constant of human life but a relatively recent invention in the long span of human history. Indeed, Smith emphasizes that for most of the human past, people lived in small, mobile, or village-based communities. The appearance of cities about 6,000 years ago, therefore, marks a major shift in how humans organized labor, space, authority, exchange, and daily interaction. The importance of this point is not simply chronological. By treating cities as a distinct development, Smith can ask why people chose to live in dense settlements despite crowding, disease risk, conflict, noise, and waste. Her answer centers on the advantages of proximity. Cities brought together strangers, specialists, goods, religious activity, administration, and information in ways that smaller settlements could not easily replicate. This made cities powerful social technologies. They intensified cooperation and competition at the same time, creating environments where innovation and dependence grew together. The book, therefore, frames urbanism as neither accidental nor inevitable, but as a successful adaptation that reorganized human relationships with objects, institutions, and one another. Secondly, archaeology reveals the everyday systems beneath urban history. Smith distinguishes her approach from histories that focus mainly on rulers, monuments, wars, or formal institutions. As an archaeologist, she is interested in the physical residues of ordinary urban life: walls, streets, drains, pottery, food remains, tools, household spaces, and trash. This gives the book a distinctive emphasis on how cities actually functioned at ground level. Archaeology matters because written records, where they exist, often preserve the concerns of elites, while material evidence can show patterns of consumption, repair, disposal, craft production, and movement across a broader population. Smith uses this perspective to make ancient urbanism feel less remote. The remains of latrines, markets, storage areas, workshops, and discarded objects reveal that city dwellers have long faced recognizable problems of supply, sanitation, convenience, privacy, and status. The method also challenges assumptions that ancient cities were crude versions of modern ones. Instead, they appear as complex places with their own solutions to recurring urban pressures. By foregrounding excavation and material traces, the book shows that the history of cities is built not only from grand architecture, but from the accumulated evidence of routine behavior. Thirdly, urban life depends on networks of movement, supply, and waste. One of the book's most concrete insights is that a city is not only a dense collection of buildings and people, it is also a system of flows. Food, water, fuel, labor, information, goods, and ritual activity must enter and circulate through the city, while waste, sewage, broken objects, smoke, and excess material must be managed or expelled. Smith treats infrastructure broadly, including not only visible structures such as roads, walls, drains, and storage facilities, but also the social arrangements that keep urban circulation working. This focus explains why cities require cooperation among people who do not know one another personally. A household can manage many needs on its own in a small settlement, but an urban population depends on coordinated systems for access, exchange, maintenance, and disposal. The same networks that make cities efficient also make them vulnerable. Blocked water supplies, poor sanitation, failed transport, or disrupted food provisioning can quickly affect large populations. Smith's archaeological perspective adds depth to modern concerns about infrastructure by showing that these issues are not new technical problems. They are defining features of urban existence from its earliest stages. Fourthly, consumption and social differentiation shape the urban experience. Smith gives significant attention to consumption, not as a superficial feature of city life, but as one of the mechanisms through which urban societies become recognizable. Cities concentrate producers, buyers, sellers, artisans, administrators, and service providers, creating opportunities for specialized goods and new forms of social display. Objects become markers of identity, occupation, taste, religious participation, and status. The book links this to the emergence of groups that can be described as proto-middle classes, people who were not necessarily rulers or peasants, but who participated in production, exchange, administration, and skilled work. This argument helps explain why cities generate both opportunity and inequality. Urban settings can expand personal choice and economic specialization, yet they also make differences in wealth, access, and privilege more visible. Smith does not present consumption only as abundance. The material record of disposable items, food remains, and household goods shows that urban convenience has always produced residue and hierarchy. This theme is important because it connects ancient city life to contemporary patterns of shopping, takeout food, consumer identity, and waste. The city appears as a place where social aspiration and material accumulation are deeply intertwined. Lastly, the benefits and burdens of cities have persisted across millennia. A major implication of the book is that the tensions of modern urban life are not merely products of industrialization or contemporary capitalism. Smith argues that many features people associate with present-day cities have deep roots: crowding, bureaucracy, crime, disease, social diversity, specialized work, infrastructure dependence, waste, and intense creativity. This continuity does not mean ancient and modern cities are identical, but it shows that urbanism creates recurring conditions. Dense settlement increases exposure to strangers and pathogens, but it also increases the chance of exchange, invention, and collective organization. Bureaucratic systems can feel burdensome, yet they often arise because large populations require records, rules, distribution, and coordination. Trash and pollution are serious problems, but they also reveal the scale of production and consumption that cities make possible. Smith's contribution is to hold these positives and negatives together rather than treating cities as either triumphs or failures. The book's long historical view suggests that cities endure because their advantages repeatedly outweigh their costs for many people. They remain difficult, unequal, and resource-intensive, but also unusually effective at concentrating human capacity. In conclusion, Cities the First Six, 1,000 Years is best suited for readers who want a historically grounded but readable explanation of why urban life became so central to human civilization. It will appeal to general readers interested in archaeology, anthropology, world history, architecture, urban studies, and the hidden systems that make daily city life possible. Its practical benefit is not a policy manual for urban planning, but a deeper framework for thinking about infrastructure, waste, density, consumption, inequality, and social cooperation as long-standing urban problems rather than purely modern crises. Intellectually, the book encourages readers to see cities as human-made environments that have repeatedly reorganized relationships among people, objects, institutions, and landscapes. Compared with many books on cities, it stands out because it is not limited to modern urban economics, famous architectural achievements, or a single civilization. Smith's archaeological lens gives attention to ordinary materials and everyday routines, making drains, garbage, pottery, food supply, and household spaces as important as monuments and rulers. The book is especially valuable because it connects ancient evidence with familiar contemporary experiences without reducing the past to a simple precursor of the present. Its strength lies in showing that the city is both historically specific and persistently recognizable across 6 millennia. If you would like to support Monica L. Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.